Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarna 2 Okay, so then Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. Maybe I should go back. Okay, Anucheta 132. Vasudevam hare stanam varantya anakadundabhi anakadundabhim. Vasudeva, who provided the proper place for the appearance of Krishna, was also known as anakadundabhi, sound of drums. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:24-30. Satvam Vishuddha, the pure Antakarna is called Vasudeva, because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. In that Antakarna, I worship the Supreme Lord Vasudeva beyond the material senses by offering respects. Right. So, in pure Vasudeva position, then Krishna appears as he is. But if you're dealing with a situation that's not Shuddha Sattva, then you are not qualified to see him as he is. Right? Because the situation is he's always pure, he's always transcendental. But it's a matter of our perception. All it means the scriptures, the whole material world is created to try to get us to understand the perspective. It's not about Krishna. It's not that when we see that Krishna exists, this is not, you know, the Buddhism, you know. It's that Krishna exists as he is, no matter what. And then it's a matter of us. So we can't see him in that. So he doesn't manifest before us in that aspect. So whatever is our attachment, whatever is our view of the Absolute, whatever our values are and their connection, then that is going to be how Krishna manifests. Because he's always manifest in his transcendental realm with all his devotees. Right? But then to deal with the impure consciousness of the living entities, therefore the material world is manifest as it is. Does that make sense? No? Yes.
So his natural position, according to the, I think it's Taittiriya Upanishad, Anandamaya.
Yes, Anandamaya.
But then it is mentioned that he is an Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, and Vijnanamaya. So this is...
He's not in it. He means his potencies are those. What you're looking for in them is him. See, is that the soul is by nature Ananda. They have their natural position is love for Krishna. But if they turn away from Krishna, then that love and that attraction and those needs get covered because they're not connected to Krishna. Right? Now you can have these different levels of consciousness based on how you're seeing the ultimate that you're trying to get. So an anamoy, then pleasing your senses, is the highest. So that pleasure that they get and all that, that's coming from Krishna because he's Ananda, but that's only the physical aspect of it. Right? And it's very much reduced because you're dealing with dead matter. You're not actually having real relationships and all those kind of things like that. Right? Then in Pranamoy, then you extend that to include your, you know, fellow man. You know? And so then at least, you know, some areas of it. You have the Saurya, which means all, and then you have the Ganapati, which means just a particular group. You know, so generally most work in a particular group, and there's that occasional guy who's it's all about everything and all that. right? So that also, that sense of it's all there and we're all together and we're all doing this, and you know how I say it, I am you and you are me and we are all together, you know, that kind of, that's Krishna. That flavor we get is Krishna. Then in Manamoya, then when we accept the authority of the Lord and we follow the Lord's laws, then there's a taste in that. I'm religious, I'm pious, I follow all these rules of God. So there's a taste in that. That's also Krishna. Right? But we see all these, and then the next level is we understand this, okay, I'm not the body, I'm not the senses, I'm not all these interactions, and it can't satisfy me as the soul because I'm transcendental. So anything material can't. So therefore, that has a taste. Right? But all these tastes are just minor portions of Krishna in his potency, because there only is Krishna. There isn't something else. So if you taste anything in anything, you're tasting Krishna. But we attribute it to the thing itself rather than to the external, rather than to Krishna. So depending upon the jiva, there's these five levels of consciousness. And what you're conscious of is still him on all these five levels. It just means Ishuddhasattva, it's as he is, right? But it says without appears without covering. So Anandamaya, there's no coverings. Then in Vijnanamaya, there's a little bit of covering. Then in Manamaya, there's more covering. In Pranamaya, there's more covering than that. And then Anamaya, then there's the most covering. And then even within that, you have the sophisticated or the so-called civilized human, then more cover than that would be uncivilized, more cover than that would be the animals. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it just keeps getting more and more gross. But the point is he is consciousness, so whatever consciousness you have, that's still him. But there's variety, there's difference. So when we say, oh, then it's all the same, that's impersonalism. And I probably gives the example, you have the sun, and you have the sunshine. So when the sun shines into your room, you can't say the sun is in my room. The sun's in your room in the form of sunshine, but you can't claim the sun globes in your room. If you do, you're foolish. But that's what understand? So you understand that it's the same, but you understand also there's the difference. So when you can see that it's the same and different, then you actually see. If you just see it's all the same, then you're seeing some aspect, but it's not complete. You can't really properly use it. And if you're seeing, oh, it's not Krishna, it's nothing, then you can't work. How do you work with anything? Then you're just working on your own potency, your own intelligence. None of this is Krishna, so therefore, then what is it? And how are you supposed to work with it? Who gives the laws on that? On how you work with this? Right, because religion means following the laws of God. Right, and God's given everything its inherent nature. One mentions that, you know, in the beginning of the work, that the nature of everything God gave the attributes for. In modern nowadays, they'll say no, nothing has it. We simply, it's a social construct. We impose it on there. So therefore, we can do whatever we want. So if someone says, no, it's like this, no, it's not. It's how I want it to be. But no, God already gave. So we can see these are atheistic. They don't accept God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the point is everything being Krishna, but you have to understand that's why he says he is everything. He's the basis of everything. And he's all the values, because you work with the base, you know, you work with the existence of things, your value in them. Right? But he says, he's all that. But if you don't see that in context to him, that's illusion. And even you see it in context, he as a person is still beyond that. Right? Because he controls everything through as his feature of Paramatma. He's the existence of everything as Brahman. Right? But he as a person is beyond that. So we have to see is that these are there. So therefore, he's going to appear in a condition in which it's on the transcendental platform. So Vasudeva is that transcendental platform. Right? Does that make sense? So him in his pastime, he appears with the devotees who are on the transcendental platform. He's not going to just appear anywhere just because we say. It has to be on the same level. Otherwise, it's covered. If we're not pure, what we're looking at is covered. You know, so we may ourselves not be pure, but we have heard from the Parampara what is the proper way. And so therefore, by intelligence, we say this is the way it is. We may not have realization of it, where we actually see like that, but we have understanding of it, that yes, this is what it is, it makes sense, it's logical, and so therefore I'm committed to this viewpoint. So therefore I can practice it, I can help others practice it and understand it. You know, and that's the preaching. So, it's a very, you know, it's the same, it's just the Chitta Veda Veda Tattva, now we're applying it to this situation. Ka means others, though it has been proven. Oh no, we're down here. I was thinking, where did that come from? Okay, Srila Prabhupada, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is constitutionally pure. Asango hyayam purushaha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. It means the soul is pure, but he has a misunderstanding. As soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it's be understood that one is in his pure, original constitutional position. That this state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existed, since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in this state the activities of material consciousness stop. So it says under internal potency, so if one is on that understanding and that position, then there is no material consciousness. Yes?
So can we say, as we mentioned before, the natural position of the Lord is Ananda Maya, then the original position of the soul is Vijnana Maya, is that right?
No, it's also Ananda Maya. It's also Ananda Maya. But the point is that he may drop into the consciousness of Vijnanamaya. Because at Anandamaya, you have that neutral state. Right? Because tatasta means neutral.
Right.
So you have an aspect where it's there, but it hasn't been covered. Because we say the four levels, four dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they are material.
Yeah.
They're material consciousness. So that means that one has to be beyond that material consciousness in Anandamaya, but it's just you haven't realized and taken up that your natural position of love with Krishna. So you're starting from the neutral state that you're situated on Shuddha Sattva. You have all the opportunities to take up that activities in Shuddha Sattva to use them to please Krishna. Right? But if we turn away from that, then we take on the material. Then we start taking on those other conscious levels of consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So just like we see is that you can have the neutral state of Baba, right, or Ananda here. Then you can have the dynamic state, where it's directed towards Krishna, but hasn't come to its full, glory. And then you have prema, which is then the full manifestation. So that's the. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why you see is that when you does that make sense there? Yeah. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes warm and then red hot. Although it is iron, it acts like fire. Simply because we're tatasta shakti, but then we're in the fire of the internal potency, we act like internal potency. But we're always tatasta as an energy. You know, does that make sense? That doesn't mean we can't be a devotee. Does that make sense? Just like the external potency has its nature. But Maya herself then is serving Krishna. So she's working under the internal potency. Somebody said, that's why this example is given, an iron fire. So if we stay in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we'll always be fire. But if you turn your attention from Krishna, then we don't have that nature. So that's why the soul, they start from that neutral position. It's natural for the soul to be conscious of Krishna and in line with Krishna. That's the nature, because it's natural for somebody, whoever their origin, to always have an affection for there. We see it in nature with everything. Right? You know, newborn anything has an affection for their mother. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't see otherwise. Right? So therefore then you have the aspect that it's going to, that's the natural thing. As we, being part and parcel of Krishna, we naturally have an affinity towards Krishna. Now, because we have the nature, that nature of Krishna, but in, you know, very, very small. You know, we have those 50 qualities of Krishna, but in very small. So we have that independence, we have that nature to do things and accomplish things and get results and be happy and have relationships. But if we don't do that in connection with Krishna, then, because he is everything, then we have to do that in connection with something that is him but covered, so that we don't see him. And that's the material energy. Is that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yes, sir? Yeah. So that the whole point is that it's natural. That's why it says constitutional position. Conditional means it's according, I think that comes coming up, it'll be according to the conditions you're in. When we say conditional existence, means you have conditions. Right? Like you can't be very comfortable on the North Pole because of your condition. But a polar bear is very comfortable there. You know, you do not see polar bears, you know, on a beach chair at the Bahamas with his sunglasses on. You know, it just doesn't happen. For them, that's very uncomfortable. They're very comfortable when there's snow and ice. You know? So that's the position. That's their condition. So everything is about the condition you're in. Does that make sense? Constitutional means you're always absorbed in Krishna. That's the constitution. So there's that science of it. You know, it's just like the jiva, its inherent nature is to serve. That's its nature. Then you can take what's the best service, that would be to God. But it will always serve. Like Prabhupada says, even if you don't have anybody else to serve, you'll get a pet and serve the pet. You know, saying, they say I don't want to be alone, so I got myself a pet. But the point is, you have to serve that pet. Otherwise, why would it stay at your place? You know. Similarly, when copper is surcharged with electricity, its action as copper stops. It acts as electricity. Bhagavad Gita 14.26 also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. Right? So when you take that, then you're on that transcendental position. So it's that simple. There's not something else, that something else can get you there. So you just change the consciousness, you're there. So the rise and fall of the jiva through all this is, through all these levels, is simply consciousness. That's why it's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's no rituals or anything. These are just environments in which can be helpful for you to change consciousness. Right? Because if you're in one situation, consciousness tends to gravitate towards the elements that are there. You change the situation, it gravitates towards something else. Is that right? You know, so that's just how it works. So these things just are assisting. Since we're identifying with external nature, then there are situations within that external nature that are naturally favorable for the elevation of the consciousness. Why? Because those situations are used by people on a higher level of consciousness. Right? So Shuddhasattva, then you see the environment itself and the how it's used, you know, in its pure form, as in its uncovered state. But as you come down the levels of consciousness, then you start seeing is that it may have the same form, but you're not using it in the same way. Or then it gets even more perverted, pranamoy and anamoy, that it doesn't even necessarily have to be the same form. But the principle is there. But the form doesn't even manifest. It becomes so covered, so distorted, that you use other forms. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like food. In the spiritual world, they have to eat the vegetarian food. You know, and you see there, those in manamoy and pranamoy, if they're following nicely, they also have to use. Right? But otherwise, as you start getting going down towards pranamoy, and that, then they may or may not use. They may use, but it's just now for sense gratification that they don't necessarily offer to the Lord at all. Or it may get distorted where now anything that they like to eat then becomes asad. Food. So the principle of food remains, but it's just, it becomes very distorted. So that's what you're dealing with. Yes.
In Lakshmi Tantra, then while describing about how the manifestations are there, then the subtle manifestation about mind, intelligence and ego is described, all three are spiritual. Egohood is spiritual, but the ego sensation is the material side of
ego,
it.
Ego.
Ahamkriti, it's called.
Sure, it's not ego-ness is, but it's ego-hood.
That's what it was written.
Yeah.
Ahamkriti is... I mean, ego-ness and ego-hood are both. Ego-hood is the masculine and ego-ness is the feminine aspect of it.
Really? Another place it was the other way. Because the ego-ness is the inherent nature of it, whether it's manifest or not. Ego and the hood is what's manifest. You know, like that. Either way, you could describe it. Point is one of them is the inherent nature, and the other is the manifestation of the nature. So the inherent nature will be the masculine, as you're saying, and the manifestation that will be the feminine. So depending upon how it's being used, you could use the words either way.
So they use the Sanskrit terms ahamkriti and ahankar. Ahankar is the material side, which is called ego sensation, and like that. Ahamkriti is the original
Ahamkriti. Okay. And then for intelligence?
Buddhi is, they said, and then how it is manifest as the power for decision making is phenomenal, based on the Adibhautika, whatever is available.
Oh, okay.
And the mind itself is spiritual, but the polarized knowledge is material.
Okay. The duplicity.
Polarized knowledge based on whatever is you perceive, what is available in the material world.
Okay. I mean, the principle of intelligence also, just to see what's the same and what's different.
Yeah.
So you see how everything's connected to Krishna, and you can see also how it's him, but it's his energy, so it's different, and then how you can use that in his service. So then here you just see it, how you use it in your... Because depending on the... I mean, the key thing is the ego.
Ego, yeah.
So if you see it as... What is it?
Ahamkriti.
Ahamkriti. Then we see ourselves as a servant of Krishna. And ahamkara is, I am the doer. Uh-huh. Okay.
So car's not the problem.
Yeah. Yes. Don't become attached to cars. Okay.
I mean, the description was like much more subtle, and also
it's already this much is subtle. It's let alone it's more subtle.
Also, the point of endeavor, focus, and devotion, which actually they are in the sphere of action, these are the three qualities of mind, intelligence, and ego.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
From intelligence comes the prayatna, which is endeavor.
Okay.
From ego comes the...
the focus.
No, devotion, Maharaj. Ego is the self-esteem, is awareness of one's own fruits or deeds.
Oh, the ego, okay, is the devotion.
Yeah.
Okay, it means how you identify, I've served the Krishna or not.
And then from mind comes the sankalpa, which is...
okay, the determination. That makes the decision. That's so therefore the focus. So yeah. the mind, what is going to focus on? Okay.
Egoness is owning the fruits.
Yes.
And responsibility for the fruits of action. So that's the devotion in general, what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Devotion when it is not directed to Krishna in a much generalized form, then because it's not directed towards Krishna, it doesn't become ahankriti, it's still in ahankara. Though we call it as devotion, but still it is in material sphere rather than...
But then you offer it to Krishna after.
So yeah, that's how you...
means I do it for myself, but then I offer it to Krishna.
That's how it's spiritualized, but pure devotees, they completely see, they don't have ahankara.
So it's just for Krishna. Make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean it's very subtle.
Yeah, because it's just turning from one to the other. See, what you're discussing here is that point on which it goes to spiritual into material, and how what goes to what.
Yeah.
You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's also in the Bhagavatam, one commentary Vishwanath Chakravarti who makes on the third chapter, third canto, when it is described nimitta karana and upadana karana, and he breaks nimitta and upadana each into four positions. I don't have the font. I wrote them down, but I don't remember otherwise. You know, in Sanskrit and in translation. But then the interesting fact is that the ego of the conditioned soul is in both positions.
Yes.
And this is where all the confusion, you know that?
Yeah. So basically, first at the nimitta level, then you have an identification on the subtle level that you are, you're identifying with the material world, but then at the upadana level, then it has to permeate so that you identify with that particular material object.
Mm.
So from nimitta, it has to permeate in upadana, if I'm getting the terms right.
Mm. Yeah, but you also have that aspect of that I'm the doer, but I'm also this body, which is upadana, and I'm going to work with other elements that are upadana to get things done. So you have to identify with both, because otherwise, if I don't identify, why is it mine? I am this body, I applied this body in this situation, I transformed that situation, got this result, therefore it's mine.
Also, then we can talk it in terms of primordial and secondary creations.
Mm-hmm.
Only at the secondary creation, then the physical manifestations of objects are there, then the souls, though they come in the primordial creation, all the primordial demigods are there, everything is, then the souls enter into particular bodies only in the secondary level.
Mm.
So that's when the upadana is manifested.
Mm. The principle is there before.
Principle.
You know, as we mentioned before, Krishna says he's given the nature of everything before. So all 8,400,000 species, the 14 planetary systems, you know, everything that's there, you know, the you know, there's a sea, you know, on the next to water, you know, plain land, hills, mountains, all these different things, these have already been given their nature. And so then it's just a matter of application. You also have the thing is that if you have it like this, when it goes here, we see it reverses.
Mm-hmm.
So that also becomes the problem. Because this position is down here, but then up here it'll be up. You know, since we're going this way, it gets us going in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, so does that make sense?
It reverses the whole thing, basically.
Yeah, so that's why you see, generally the middle, like the intelligence, you have the action, that just stays in its place. It generally doesn't get confusing.
Yeah.
But thinking about something and willing about something, that's where it gets confused. You know, or I got a result, because also then Prabhupada mentions where when you get a result in Aniruddha, it goes back to the field of Prajumna. So it becomes part of your field. I work hard on my goal to get a house. I got the house. Now the house is just part of my field of activities. It's not a goal anymore. So even though it was a goal, now it's not a goal. And now, I should have a party in my house. So then I have the party. Now having had the party, now it's part of my field. Now I'm known as the guy who has the parties at the house. So my goal becomes my sambandha. So that's why these things will go. But you see here, it's depending upon your ego, that's the trajectory is where it's going to go. Right?
I think it's a beautiful explanation of why people are not satisfied in the material world.
Yes.
As soon as they get it, it shifts the position, and that isn't there anymore, so you feel empty again.
Yes.
So you have to move on, like you say, you throw a party, or you do this, or you do that. So you constantly... But it shifts automatically, you don't have to...
No, it's not that...
You don't have to worry about it.
No. It's that Maya does it automatically for you. She's very, very kind. Yeah, that's the whole point.
Phantasmagoria, I think, Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Because phantasmagoria is something, it appears real, but you can't catch it.
No. Yeah. And even if you do, then you'll have to have another one, another phantasmagoria. So that's why the intelligence is that buddhi yoga, because that's the one that's balanced. And then the other two, depending upon it is, that they'll flip. But it doesn't matter. If you have one right, the other one will be right. If my ego is I'm servant of Krishna, therefore the goal will be connected to Krishna. Or if I want to please Krishna, therefore I have to be a servant of Krishna. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we endeavor for Krishna. So in sadhana bhakti, we're doing the activities of devotional service, whether our consciousness is necessarily always on that platform or not. But at least by intelligence, we've accepted this is better. Because the material doesn't work, so by intelligence, I see this is better. And I do get results from it that are better than the other, than the material. And so I continue. But then as the heart becomes purified, as we see, because the soul by nature is transcendental. That's it. It is said, living entity is constitutionally pure. Asango hyayam purushaha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. So the soul is like that. But his consciousness, he may have, it doesn't mean it doesn't change his position. You know, it's just like the guy is sitting there in his chair and saying he's Napoleon Bonaparte. But everybody can see he's not Napoleon Bonaparte, even if he does take his hand and stick it like this. So many people stuck their hand like this. It was just at that time and time period, it was the fashion that a gentleman, it was considered more, you know, you don't show the hand. You know, it's just, you know, like now that people do this or do this or, you know, something. They all have something to do with their hand, or they just stand there, you know. They do something. That was the thing, was to put it in your coat. So you see, it's not only him, but others in paintings of that era had their hand in their coat. So he was doing it, but it's attributed just to him. But it was just the fashion. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? Yeah. So the soul gets covered by these things, but it's not that it's them. But they identify with it even though they're not. Right? So the crazy man, you see, he's who he is, but he says he's something else. So they say they're God, they're the enjoyer, they're the controller, they're this, they're that. But they're none of that. The soul's still the soul. The soul's still the uncontaminated soul. But because of the identification, therefore they get the results of their consciousness. Right? Because Krishna is conscious of everything. And the living entity, being part and parcel, is conscious. And so therefore then the relationship between the Lord and the living entity will be based on that consciousness. So if the consciousness is focused on Krishna, then you can relate in the pure state. If it's focused on matter, then you have to relate to Krishna in his form as matter. Right? His energies expand and are matter, and he as Paramatma controls that energy. And so then we have to relate to him in that form. But the soul is inherently pure. It's a matter of convincing ourselves of that. But it doesn't change who we are. You know, otherwise, if we are that, then why is it this lifetime there, a human, next lifetime there, something else? Or this lifetime there, a dog, next lifetime there, you know, something else. So it's just based on the work of the jiva, the pure jiva, how he works, then that's what it is. Consciousness is not pure, but he is pure. The nature is pure. He covers himself by this polluted consciousness. Just like the Acharyas mentioned, that the spiritual body is there, it just becomes covered by the gross body. Like you say, intelligence is there. These things all have their spiritual original. That's why sitting in, you know, kirtan or sitting in a lecture and someone's discussing these things, you can see things as they are, because we do have the spiritual identity, intelligence, and mind. Right? And so therefore then you get that glimpse by that association, that covering is removed to some degree. And we see in some that becomes removed, they stays like that, but because we go back to identifying in the center, it becomes covered again. So yeah. But Bhagavad Gita 14:26 also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Therefore, Shuddha Sattva, as described in this verse, is the transcendental position which is technically called Vasudeva. Vasudeva is also the name of the person from whom Krishna appears. This verse explains that the pure state is called Vasudeva, because in that state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed without any covering. To execute unadulterated devotional service, therefore, one must follow the rules and regulations of devotional service without desire to gain material profit by fruit of activities or mental speculation. In pure, so we see is that we're not wanting anything, and we are identifying as servant of Krishna. So then, however that's having the effect, we're trying to please Krishna, and we're not seeing. You know, that's why you see the yajna. This is for Krishna. It's not for me. You know, like when you offer every ahuti afterwards and say swadhan idam Krishnaya idam namama. This is for Krishna, it's not for me. Because you have both aspects. If it's not for me, it's for Krishna. If it's for Krishna, it's not for me. That's why those two positions, they're, you know, but you know which one's main and which one's secondary. Does that make sense? Like here, we're trying to change the identity. So those who see the identity as the soul, the jnanis, are considered the highest on the material platform. Right? But in the spiritual platform, then it's the love for Krishna. You identify as servant of Krishna, but then it's the degree of love. Right? So therefore the mind goes up. Like you were saying before, is that you have the false ego, is what's defining. And the mind is just, you know, what you're going to deal with, what field you're going to work in. But then there, it reverses. Same principle. So it's not a problem, it's just a matter of which realm it's working in. And they also, as it is here, you can see it there. But you can also see as the principle here, it switches here. Mechanics will stay the same. That's what we're saying. The intelligence stays the same. So if you're looking at it from the intelligence, the Sambandhavideya Prayojana will stay in the same order. But if you're looking at the polluted consciousness, then in some situations you see it may reverse. But the middle one, the Abhideya, that will always stay the same. Is that? Because there's always those situations where you see it's working one way and then another situation it seems to be the opposite. This is where it's coming in. Because they're all connected. Because if Satchit and Ananda are three separate entities that have no connection with each other, then how are they one entity? The different features of one entity.
Yeah.
And so therefore, because of the one, if you emphasize one, it comes out this way. If you emphasize another, it comes out. If you emphasize another, it comes out. So you can see everything from Ananda. You know, and how everybody's working for Ananda, whatever you're doing Ananda. You know, we can always see as people are working for, you know, having knowledge and doing things and getting results. We can also see as they're looking for identity and relationships and, you know, categorizing everything. So depending on how you do that, you can see the whole philosophy through Sat. You can see the whole philosophy through Chit. You can see the whole philosophy through Ananda.
And you know, after 1 week, you know, the Buddha, I guess, becomes a bit rusty. So, you know, I have to get into it.
And it's
really technical. So.
No. But this is also, it's not even just that. These are subtler points of stuff we've just discussed. Because this is where we stopped, and now we're going back discussing it further. Yeah, so it's not necessarily that it gets rusty, it's just that it's going more.
So at this point we discuss the jiva tattva, isn't it?
So is that something is on there?
No.
Oh, it's just, I was just reflecting the light, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Interesting screensaver.
Oh yeah, because it's...
Yeah, shiny.
It's glossy.
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying. You're saying something, or
I was just trying to clarify how we, you know, at this point I was discussing that the jiva tattva in the Krishna Sandarbha, is this is what we actually discussed now.
But is the glories of the eternal associates of Krishna.
Oh,
so then we're seeing is how Vasudev is then is the that. Because of his consciousness and that, he's in that pure state of Shuddha Sattva. Therefore, Krishna manifests only through Shuddha in the position of Shuddha Sattva. So then he is the manifestation of that Shuddha Sattva. So he's known as Vasudeva. And then Vasudeva manifests in that position. So it even matches, the pastime matches with the philosophy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, the whole connection is first we described Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, then the paraphernalia connected to him. First the abode, the pastimes, and the paraphernalia includes the devotees also. So because they are his devotees, then they can manifest all the opulences of him. And here the discussion, the special qualities of Vasudev, Devaki, and also Yashoda Nanda comes that. How can Krishna manifest through them? Because they're not different from him. That's the whole discussion about.
Yeah. Thank you.
also, Maharaj, before we were discussing on the Vijnanamaya level, that the basis is considered the jiva. So the jiva can be considered, like, whether pure jiva or contaminated, it's not mentioned. But at Anandamaya level, Brahman is the basis. So the Brahman is this, either it can refer to the Lord or the pure jiva who is a paraphernalia of Lord. So,
does that make sense?
So this is from Taittiriya
Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad, is that right? Yes.
Because I remember you mentioned the whole thing, but you know, because you know, we go in class after class, it gets lost unless I mark it or something, or if Mark Arunaji marks it for
or the class. Yeah.
And then I can get the reference. Otherwise, it gets lost. So I get bits and pieces. But then when I have to explain it to the students, I have to access it, but it isn't there. You know, it's like it's because it's very technical. So yeah, this was. Thank you for clarifying. This was my. I thought I'm clear on this.
Because there is a jiva, when you're saying Vijnanamaya is jiva, that they're not material. But it's not actually defining that they have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that was my point. Maybe I didn't explain myself properly. As tatasta, that was my point.
As no, tatasta. But tatasta is the outer edge of the internal potency.
Yeah.
And because they're so small, they can be overwhelmed by the external potency. See, the internal potency won't be overwhelmed by the external potency because the internal potency is the one who transforms as the external potency.
Yeah.
As service to Krishna. You know, so that's that position of Ramadevi. That's the point where you see the switch.
Yeah. So basically the tatastha, either in the shelter of internal potency or external potency, that's how we identify the jiva. There is nothing like jiva on his own.
Yes. So that's the thing, that's why it's still considered material consciousness in Vijnanamaya for the materialists, because they're seeing it not connected to the Lord. Well, for the devotee in sadhana bhakti, then we're identifying as the jiva, as servant of Krishna, but we still are working with our conditioned nature. You know, so we still have that aspect. Well, then the other, that's why you see Srila Prabhupada can talk so comfortably about Brahman, and it's not impersonal. Like so much of his description when you're dealing on the scientific, you know, basis of Krishna consciousness, then you're dealing with this aspect of Brahman. The jiva is Brahman. He makes that very, he's Brahman. So that's the difference. Rather than he's jivatma, he's talking about he's Brahman. So he's talking about the jiva on the Anandamaya platform. So it's not about us, where it's jnana and trying to get to there, which is the tendency we'll deal with. But there he's talking about, no, they're that. But they're not part of Brahman. They're a particle of Brahman. So Krishna is the independent, you know, individual. We're an independent individual. It's just we're a real small one. And he's the great one. You know. So that's the thing. We're not great. He's great. We're small.
So this five koshas, we can see from both Vyasti and Samasti perspectives. When you see from Samasti perspective, then you are referring to the Lord, but same thing, as an individual, we can ourselves reflect the consciousness in these five koshas. That's where the confusion is sometimes.
Yeah,
which refers to whom?
Because we're looking at it as, we generally tell it's got to be this or that. But you can look at all the five koshas from the perspective of the Lord, how he's in his natural state in the Shuddha Sattva, but how he'll manifest through all these others, other levels. That's why, let's say, for the person on Pranamoy, then he's money. People work very hard for money. You know, so how can you work so hard unless it's how can the jiva work so hard unless it's Krishna? But they don't see it's Krishna, they see it's money. And they work hard, so that's why they can work. Otherwise, why would the jiva work? Right? The jiva inherently is they're just manifesting their natural nature to serve. And so then they serve money. Or someone serves the society, or someone serves, you know, religion, or someone serves, you know, the knowledge, the impersonal understanding, or even just, you know, secular knowledge. But it's all Krishna. So from the samasti, it's all Krishna. But from the vyasti, then it's only when you get to the shuddha-sattva, you know, the anandamoy, then you're actually dealing with Krishna. Because that's our consciousness. Because he, in dealing with all this, doesn't change his consciousness. He just deals through his energies. But he's still controlling. But the potency is still him. You know, so we'll say is, you know, let's say you go to plug something into the socket. If the socket doesn't work, you'll say, oh, it's not working, I'll go to another socket. But whichever socket it is, it's still the powerhouse. Powerhouse is giving the electricity, not the socket. We see the socket is giving. Oh, I prefer this kind of socket. Oh, that kind of socket is not so good. So, you know. So, but the point is from Saman, it's still there. It's just a matter of how he manifests in this socket or that socket, or, you know, these are all the Deshi sockets. But over here, you're finding international sockets. Like that.
Also, the first four levels are more on the Brahman and Paramatma aspects of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And then Bhagavan is like exclusively manifest in Anandamaya Kosha.
Yeah, so it also.
Yeah,
because you're going to see Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, so it's going to be like that.
So basically, Vyasti Samasti perspectives apply to the first four levels because. On transcendental, it's beyond.
Yeah, it's beyond. That's how he's, like he says, even though it's paramount, but he's controlled, but he's beyond that.
Yeah.
So we're using Vyasti Samasti for us to understand that there's something more than us. Because otherwise, it's just be us. And we have a problem with others, but when we understand Samasti of the Lord and how the creation is his, then others fall into place. You know, what's our relationship with others and everything based on our relationship with the Lord. You understand the Lord, you understand everything. You understand your relationship with everything.
Because now, at this point, we never discuss Vyasti, Samasti or anything from now on. It's all about how the devotees, they are in one with their consciousness is one with how the Lord thinks and their identity is based on that. So basically, it's beyond Vyasti and Samasti.
So it's a Bhagavan feature of the Lord.
Yes. So that's in here, is that how he's, when you're saying he's manifest through the Shuddha Sattva, now we're dealing with the devotees in the pastime, not with the cosmic, you know, and Paramatma and how he controls everything, and this level is here and that level is there. And
also, it's very important to catch that particular mood of those devotees, which will be elaborated and further, and also their position is elaborated now, and a little later when the Aprakat Prakat Leela is described, then their mood is also elaborated, and how the synthesis of how, because their identity remains the same though they shift from the Prakat Leela to the Aprakat. Means whatever is manifest to everybody to whatever is not manifest, but their identity remains because of their specific bhava. So the whole thing then.
That's also transcendental, because the material, because the bhava is always changing, therefore the bodies are changing. And the situation you end up in is different, consciousness changing, but because they, the rati, is the same, their attraction to the Lord is the same. If they move from prakat to aprakat, then they stay the same. You know, just like Krishna is saying, I remember everything because I don't change my body. Like that, because they're always absorbed in Lord, so therefore they remain. We don't have that consciousness, therefore we change bodies, and it's a different personality. Same soul.
Yeah. So that's how all the explanation given by Prabhupada on this point of Vasudeva. It refers to the Lord Himself, but He Himself is the Father. I mean, that whole quality is manifest is in His Father. That's why He is Vasudeva.
Mm.
And then Krishna is called Vasudeva because that's how He is. That is the existence from which He manifests to us, whether I'm putting in the right word.
Mm-hmm.
So His Father should have that feature in Him. So basically all these transcendental qualities from which the manifestation of Lord's pastimes happen in the material world, basically it's Prakat Leela, all these qualities are manifest in His devotees, who are His eternal associates. So the discussion is now on is geared around that. So Prabhupada's explanation helps us to see from our stage how to see the whole thing. But actually he is describing the same thing what Jiva Goswami is telling on that level of Anandamaya Kosha.
So that will also be a because you have that the difference and non-difference with Brahman Paramatma. They are Krishna, but at the same time they're different feature. It means He Himself is the origin of that, therefore He's independent. So then when you're discussing the philosophy, then you're going to have those times where it's discussing in the context of how He's the controller of His energies, and other times it's how He's performing His pastimes. That makes sense. So even if the Lord who's controlling the energies, you know, like we see as Karana Dakshay Vishnu, that He's controlling the material energy, Mahatattva. But when Krishna and Arjuna go to visit Him, then they're interacting with Him on His and Bhagavan aspect. You know, He has a palace, He has everything like that. At the same time as His Paramatma, then it's just Him. There's no palace. You know, just like Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, there's just Him. You know, Him with Lakshmi and Ananta. You know, there might be Garuda and Hanuman there. Narad Muni, of course. But then there'll also be where He has His whole thing. Same with Kiradakshaya Vishnu. He's sitting in the heart, but that's what He's there with His palace and His associates. And so that kind of aspect kind of gets... It just depends where He's doing. Is He controlling His energies? Or He's having pastimes? You know, with His pure devotees. When He's controlling His energies, it's also a pastime. And controlling the energies, He's working with devotees. But they don't necessarily know that they're devotees, if we're talking on the material side. The jivas are all His devotees, but they don't know they're devotees. That's why they're completely dependent on Him. But they want to engage in activities other than Him. But so the same activities of the spiritual world are just presented here. And then you can try your best to go through and get whatever you want from there. Yeah. You know, if you stick to the 50 qualities, you generally do better. And if you try to go beyond that into the... you know, up to the 60, you know, from 50 to 60, that's where your real problems come up. You know, I'm the controller of everything and all that, yeah. You know, there's not something else that says, oh, we're created new, it's all different, not, it's still the same world, it's still the same eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You know, it's just now that you can eat anything, sleep in anything, you know, everything, you can just do whatever you want. It's just, in other words, before I was trying to narrow it as close as possible to the human species, the human form of life, you know, and that culture, that elevating culture, and now they want to break down all the barriers, and no, I want to act like the 8 million. You can, but just then why be human? You know? You know, since you are human now, use it for that. Because you can't actually do all those things very nicely. No? you know, like birds, they can fly on their own. It's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear birds crashing or this or that or running out of fuel or, you know, a wing falling off or things like that. You know, they do fine. You know, of course, when a hawk comes by, there may be a bit of problem. But the point is that, just their ability to fly is good. The humans are always, they're dependent upon the environment. If everything's right, then it works. And if not, then they have problems. You know, I say, so since you're human, this light, use it for human stuff. And then having used it for human stuff, if you don't like, at the time of death, think of a bird, then you'll be a great bird. You know, why be a sparrow? You'd be a shining eagle, you know. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a matter of duty, without reason, without being impeded by material conditions. That is called Shuddhasattva, or Vasudeva, because in that stage the Supreme Person, Krishna, is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva, or Shuddhasattva, in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. He explains that Ashto Tara Shata, 108, is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddhasattva, or in the transcendental state of Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudeva also means one who is everywhere, all-pervading. The sun is also called Vasudeva Shabditam. The word Vasudeva may be utilized for different purposes, but whatever purpose we adopt, Vasudeva means the all-pervading or localized Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 7.19, it is also stated, Vasudevas Sarvam Iti. Factual realization is to understand Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrender unto Him. Vasudeva is the ground wherein Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed. When one is free from the contamination of material nature is situated in pure Krishna consciousness, or in the Vasudeva state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person, is revealed. The state is also called Kaivalya, which means pure consciousness. Jnana Satvikam Kaivalyam. When one is situated in pure transcendental knowledge, one is situated in Kaivalya. Therefore, Vasudeva means Kaivalya. Also seems interesting here, another name like that, Kaivalya, because that's one of the Ram's mother. But who did he hang out with? Kaikeya? Wasn't it? Oh, it was Kaikeya, not Kaivalya. Yeah, no, not Kaivalya. But who's Kaivalya? There's somebody in there. Okay. A word which is generally used by impersonalists, right? Therefore, Vasudeva means Kaivalya, a word which is generally used by impersonalists. They like the word, they use it, but it's not their word. Impersonal Kaivalya is the last stage of realization, is not the last stage of realization. But in Krishna conscious Kaivalya, when one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is successful. In that pure state, by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., because of the development of knowledge of the science of Krishna, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these activities are under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. Right, so, internal potency, whichever level you're working on. But the point is that you're working here, you'll go through the practices that are to bring you to that platform. And you work because the purpose is to please Krishna and you're not looking for it. That puts you on that transcendental platform. There may be still some residue of our contaminated consciousness left just by habit, but it's just a matter of time. You continue like that, then it goes away. Right. So that's different. That's why the difference there is the devotees may be practicing sadhana bhakti on the Vijnanamaya platform. That's just the situation. But for the jnani, that's his level of realization. So for the devotee, he's situated Vijnanamaya and trying for Anandamaya. That's his goal. But for them, they're situated, their goal is the Vijnanamaya. They don't understand the Anandamaya. They'll say being on that platform is Ananda, but every platform is Ananda. Man, the dog is really happy when it gets something to eat, right? You know, so happy, more happy than anybody else, right? That makes sense? You know, you bring a bucket of halva, and the dog is running around and jumping and this and that. You bring that bucket of halva, the brahmacharis aren't jumping in their hands. So who's getting the most Ananda from that bucket of halva? Yeah. So it's just a matter of, it's there at every level. The action of the internal potency is also described in this verse as apa vritaha, free from any covering. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name, His form, His quality, His paraphernalia, etc., being transcendental, are beyond material nature, it is not possible to understand any one of them with the materialistic senses. When the senses are purified by the discharge of pure devotional service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.170. The pure senses can see Krishna without covering. Now one may inquire that since factually the devotee has the same material existential body, how is it possible that the same materialistic eyes become purified by devotional service? The example is stated by Lord Chaitanya is that devotional service cleanses the mirror of the mind. In a clean mirror, one can see one's face very distinctly. Similarly, by cleansing the mirror of the mind, one can have a clear conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.8, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, by executing one's prescribed duties in devotional service, Chaitasa Nanya Gamina, or simply by hearing about God and chanting about Him. One's mind is always engaged in chanting and hearing and is not allowed to go elsewhere. One can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, by the Bhakti Yoga process, beginning from hearing and chanting, one can cleanse the heart and mind, and thus one can clearly see the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23 purport. So when you clear the heart and mind, you're clearing the actual spiritual, but it's covered by the material. Doesn't make sense. The mind is there. That's why it says clearing the mind. It doesn't say you're switching to a new mind. It just becomes purified back, because you cleanse the... What's the impurity? It's the covering. The covering is we're using the material element of mind. And it's designed to think of material. Like, the spiritual mind thinks the spiritual. But Krishna means the spiritual world. Right? So then, if you don't want to think of Krishna, then you can't think of the spiritual world. Right? So therefore, then you have to have a world in which you can think of that seemingly doesn't have any connection with Krishna. So then you have to have the material mind that can relate to the earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the ten senses. Right? Then you can function. Otherwise, the mind in this natural state only can conceive of spiritual. Does that make sense? Same with the intelligence. You can tell the difference in material things, but there you can tell, you know, the difference in spiritual things. Or you can see what's common, like this. Same with the ego. So it becomes covered, yes.
So the swarup of pure jiva has naturally all these aspects. It has the pure intelligence, pure mind, pure ego, and all the good qualities, everything.
Yes.
But when he becomes covered, then it has that first the ego is now polluted, the polluted consciousness. Then all the material, that's the only thing, the covering of the pure thing. And all the other things are actually doesn't belong to him, because they are just covering on his natural qualities. That's how the eight material elements, because most of the time, the gross body, in one sense, it could be understood that it doesn't belong to him. But much more difficult is to understand the subtle body doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we also speak about having pure mind,
mm-hmm.
and intelligence and ego.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes much more tricky. Because body, anyway, you are leaving and you see people leaving the body, and then you have an emotion that they didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
So many people can kind of get it, but when we, as soon as we start speaking on subtle one, you cannot differentiate actually unless one is purified by association of devotees. Because last week when I was out, I was having some discussions with some people, and one person was like very thoroughly convinced that his realizations are completely spiritual, but it's purely on the karmic platform. But it's a good basis to mm-hmm. move on,
mm-hmm.
but it's all mixed up, because then if you want, you can identify subtle as spiritual, as
mm-hmm.
right now the modern new agey
mm-hmm.
world is all about. But actually then, unless we understand that the jiva in his, as its swarupa, has all the good qualities what we are actually striving to have,
mm-hmm.
the only thing is we are covered.
Mm. Small little detail.
Small. So then when the acharya says that it's all about cleansing ourselves, then we are just
Yeah, so the principle of cleansing, so even those who don't, I think, like they're spiritual, the mind is spiritual, they can relate to the principle of purification, but they'll only purify depending on whether it's speculative or they're following Shastra, they'll have their process of elevation. So the principles remain, even the grossest, they expect, you know, they expect you to, you know, what you say you're going to do, you have respect for others, you know, all these different kinds of things, they expect that, though the form of what that looks like may be very different. Yeah.
It's interesting, Maharaj, now having understood all these points, that no matter anybody speaks whatever kind of philosophy, you can actually see the right aspects of it and then where their shortcoming, and then just
deal with that. You see, when Prabhupada, especially when he's just giving a general address to an audience, especially if there's Indians in the audience, but even if there's not, but especially noted there that when it comes to the question and answer, they say all kinds of stuff, but probably just like what you're saying, just catches that one point, showing what's correct about it and what's not. Right? So rather than, no, it's all wrong, it's that this part, this point is right in principle, but in detail this is where it's wrong, and then it's they generally don't have anything to say. Otherwise, then you have they'll fight forever. Yeah, because all there is only Chit Achit Ishwara. You know, there's Krishna, the living entity, and then his energy. That's all there is. And so then, when you're dealing, then if you see it in context of Krishna or not, that's going to make the difference. And you have those levels of consciousness. So depending on where they are, they're going to see it in a particular way. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, in teachings of Queen Kunti, I think in Bhagavatam also this mentioned point, Shukadev Goswami is the most special person who is the most qualified to describe Bhagavatam. The main reason is because he can explain the topic in such a way that everybody could benefit.
Mm.
There are like people from the entire universe. He can mm-hmm. speak the whole philosophy in such a way where everybody can relate to it and get benefited. That's making him more special, not the amount of knowledge or this.
Mm. So the ability to explain. Yeah.
This point was read in teachings of Queen Kunti. But
well, that's a very good point.
So that after understanding the whole thing, then generally I am particularly tempted to speak the points which are like, no, you know, but then you see that, no, these people, they cannot see it in that way, so just keep quiet. And
you keep the principle, but just adjust in detail on how you're applying it. Because it's still going to be Krishna.
Krishna.
You know, it's just like you see Narad Muni then with, I think it was Dasaratnaka. Then he switched his consciousness by just saying, you know, why are you doing this? Maintaining your family, but this is sinful. He says, yeah, what to do? So that means you're taking all the sin to maintain them. So since you're working so hard for them and taking the sin, are they willing to share this with you? You know? And so when he went to ask them, they said no. So now he comes back. Now he's ready to listen about spiritual. You know? You know, I think also then after he's just having time to chant, because he was so sinful, he couldn't chant Ram. But because, you know, he was used to, you know, killing people and everything like that, he could chant Mara, you know, death. And so then...
And the main difficulty dealing with Indian audience is like, when Prabhupada dealt with Western audience, he could just say Krishna is a taste of water or wine. Then good, for them Krishna, they don't have any prejudice against the name of the Lord. As soon as you start dealing with Indians, they have all kind of prejudices against the name and the form and the activities of the Supreme Lord. Then beat around and then see how to talk and what makes.
No, it's more difficult. Okay. So the place of the Lord is called Vasudeva. The sages call him Anakadundapi. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. Right? So he's appearing in that platform of Shuddha Sattva. So Vasudeva is being a pure devotee is on that platform. Therefore the glories of the eternal associates, they are on that transcendental platform. So they have the same qualities of the Lord. You know, in Vaikuntha, then it's just you have the same form as the Lord. But here it's that they have the matching qualities, that therefore the form goes along with that. Whatever qualities of Krishna that they have the attraction to, they have that form which matches those qualities. You know, that means, in other words, the qualities that may be either the same or their counterparts, however it fits, depending upon their relationship. Yeah? Anucheta 133. A similar explanation can be given for the following. Devakyam, Devarupinyam. The Lord appeared from Devaki and from Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.8. Vasudeva, Deva, has a form of Shuddha Sattva. In Vishnu Purana, the Devatas praise Devaki. Tvam, Pura, Prakriti, Shukshma. You are beyond Prakriti. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. Ooh, now that's the shortest anucheta we've had. Yeah, so then she also is then beyond. Like Vasudeva is beyond, so then Devaki is beyond. Anucheta 134. You who exist in aprakrita pastimes, aprakat pastimes, as my parents, and are eternal like me, have now appeared in prakat pastimes, and again spontaneously enter into aprakat pastimes. That is expressed in the following verse. Yuvam mam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chash shakrit chintayan tau krita snehau yasyete mad gatam param. Both of you, husband and wife, continually think of me with eternal prema as your son. And maybe you once thought of me as Brahman in human form. You will achieve my abode which you already possess. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.45. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. This instruction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his father and mother, who are eternally connected with him, is especially intended for persons eager to return home back to Godhead. One should never think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an ordinary human being, as non-devotees do. The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared and left his instructions for the benefit of all human society. But fools and rascals unfortunately think of him as an ordinary human being and twist the instructions of Bhagavad Gita for the satisfaction of the senses, right? Because if he's transcendental, then that means his instructions are transcendental, and then following them will bring you to the transcendental platform. But if he's not transcendental, then they think that, you know, he's working within the modes, I'm working within the modes, therefore I can make up my own. You know, if he's giving dictation, I can give dictation. Practically everyone commenting on Bhagavad Gita interprets it for sense gratification. It has become especially fashionable for modern scholars and politicians to interpret Bhagavad Gita as if it were something fictitious. And by their wrong interpretations, they are spoiling their own careers and the careers of others. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is fighting against this principle of regarding Krishna as a fictitious person and of accepting that there was no battle of Kurukshetra, that everything is symbolic, and that nothing in Bhagavad Gita is true. In any case, if one truly wants to be successful, one can do so by reading the text of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially stressed the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Jare dekha, tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 7.128. If one wants to achieve the highest success in life, one must accept Bhagavad Gita as spoken by the Supreme Lord. By accepting Bhagavad Gita in this way, all human society can become perfect and happy. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.45 purport. Brahma Bhavena means with the idea that I am part of Brahman in human form. Madgatim Param means my pastimes other than Prakat pastimes. That means they will attain his pastimes. It means they'll attain other than the Prakat. The apricot means the transcendental, that are eternally manifest, those. So the transcendental realm. Just by saying that, then that means there. But they're the same, but it just means you attain here to come to the platform of prema so you can go there. Like that. Anucheta 135. Appearing as amshas, previously you concentrated only on me. Ajushta gramya vishaya vana patyau cha dampati na vavrate pavargam me mohitau deva mayaya. You had no desire for material objects and were without children. Though qualified, you do not ask for liberation from me, since you were bewildered by my mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.39. Deva Mayaya means by my Shakti composed of affection for me. Since that is explained in relation to Jashoda's affection, which is also called Maya. Itam vidita tatva yam gopi kayam cha ishvara. Ishvara. Vaishnavim vyatanon maya putra sneham ayim Vibhu. When Jashoda understood the truth, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, spread mercy by having her develop the deepest affection for her son. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.43. Or Maya can mean mercy which causes such affection. Vishva Prakasha says that Maya means mercy and illusion. By that prema, one does not want liberation at all, even if there is a reason for giving it. The word ajushta means they had no desire for material objects. The Lord spoke thus to the couple. Riti. Having discussed the glories of Krishna's eternal devotees from the Yadu dynasty, the glories of the eternal abodes of Brajabhumi, headed by Jashoda and Ananda, who possess intense prema for the Lord, are described next. Anucheta 136. The cowherds are his eternal associates. That is clear from Jayati Jananiva Asaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.48. Also it is said, I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my natural powers, for I am their shelter, I am their protector, and indeed I am everything to them. I have taken a vow to protect my devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.25.18. The meaning is clear. The Lord spoke thus. Anucheda 137. Tata arabhya nandasya vrajas sarva samriddhiman harer nivasatma gunai rama kridam abhun nripa. O Maharaj Parikit, the home of Nanda Maharaj is eternally the abode of the Supreme Lord, and his qualities, the Supreme Lord and his qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with all wealth. Yet, beginning from Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.18. Nanda's place is fully prosperous with the qualities of the Lord's abode. Samriddhiman indicates that this prosperity is eternal. From the time of Krishna's appearance, the village of Nanda became prosperous. It became the playground of Lakshmi. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambrama sevimanam. Krishna is served by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis, Brahma Samhita. It became the playground of the women of Braja. Rama Kridam. As long as Krishna plays invisibly in that abode of the Lord, they also play invisibly. When he plays visibly, they also play visibly. Sukadeva spoke thus. Right, so their transcendental position is always there, so it's just a matter of they're always there, and he's not manifest, they're not manifest. When he's manifest, they're manifest. So the apricot pastimes are always going on. And so it's always eternally transcendental and opulent. But then in the prakat, then only when he comes, then they all come. And it all is there, even though it's eternally opulent. You know, he's saying it's eternally opulent, but then it's said, when he appeared, then it became the playground of Lakshmi. Because when he appears, they appear. But it's eternally like that because of the apricot. So in the prakat, then when he appears, they appear. But in the apricot, it's always like that. Because he's always there, they're always there. Yes.
So it's not incorrect to give an example from aprakat pastimes for the prakat pastimes. Say, quote Brahma Samhita, which explains aprakat for the prakat. It's because
no, because it's the same thing. It's just what's manifest,
okay,
like that. But that means there is a recommendation that those things that are too intimate or not are, you know, in other words, they're not suitable for general discussion or won't help the necessarily advancement of the general audience. Those aspects of the apricot aren't discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So you discuss things that are happening in the apricot, but you may be quoting from the apricot.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that. You know, so it just works there. So then that's always. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that coordination and the harmony of prakat and aprakat is always there because the past tense doesn't seem to complete otherwise to even us. Because unless Krishna's childhood and then you know, other past tense are discussed, for us the eternal Kaishora form and all the relationship doesn't make sense.
Mm.
That's why while discussing aprakat, then there is prakat description. Mm-hmm. And in the prakat past tense also, how it is beyond space and beyond time frame and everything, then we are discussing the aprakat aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, it is described.
Mm. And also you have
to explain the detail, naturally within the prakat we describe the aprakat.
Mm.
And
within both vice versa. Because you also. And in the apricot, there also, the references are there,
yes,
you know, for the complete of the prakat.
Yeah.
Because they'll talk about when he was a baby. But that doesn't happen in the apricot, that happens in the prakat.
Yeah.
So the same vice versa, it goes both ways, it works both ways. You know, and so in the same mood is, okay, we'll end here, but that's also is. We'll end and then just keep it on for a second.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.